Hey, everybody, thanks so much for tuning in to this live broadcast. Wherever you're listening, I would ask that you would please share it, get the links out there, let more and more people know about the podcast and the radio show. And we're just so glad that you've tuned in tonight and have a lot of different things I want to talk about. First of all, I am running on low energy. I'm not Jeb Bush, I promise, but I am tired because I have not been getting much sleep. We've been on the road and all different types of events over the last 48 hours, and I'm going to continue to do that tomorrow. But I wanted to do a podcast tonight and just give you some updates as far as some new things we've heard. I know many people are praying all around the country, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for praying. Thank you for being the righteous remnant in this nation. Thank you for being willing to stand for the president, for our votes to count. It's so important that our vote counts. And I know many people everywhere I go are telling me, Todd, Pastor Todd, we just feel like, you know, our vote isn't being counted. We know this election is being stolen. We know Joe Biden didn't win. What can we do? This is what I hear everywhere. And I know it. And I've talked to people close to the president and I've relayed the message to them. You know, I didn't speak to the president directly, but I've spoke to, you know, it would be the equivalent of speaking to like somebody's child, you know, or somebody's best friend. I mean, I've spoke to people that have the president's ear, and I've asked them, please, please relay to the president, keep fighting. And they have assured me that he is going to keep fighting. And I believe their words. I truly do, because these are sincere people and they know what's at stake. And I believe the president is going to fight until the very end. The president knows that the American people are with him. He knows, you know, in his heart that this election has been stolen, and he knows that this is a great injustice to our nation. And so I do believe he is going to stand till the very end. And I know there's a lot of different people that are writing a lot of different things. I just actually was with Epoch Times today. I think they do great work. You know, was with one of their lead journalists, you know, talked to him, great guy. You know, there's their reporting is very good. You know, of course we got Remnant News that we do, rmntnews.com. You know, I try to put as much up as we can when I'm traveling. It's hard. We do have some other people that contribute sometimes, but again, it's hard to do everything that we're doing. And so some days we put up more articles than others, but we do have a consistent flow of articles and good information on there. One of them I'm going to talk about in a few minutes about this massive hack situation, but I wanted to, before I get into that and some of the other news of the day, I wanted to just share with you again, and I'm going to go back to this towards the end of the broadcast, but we have to keep ourselves grounded. We got to keep ourselves in prayer, in worship, spending time with the Lord, making sure that we're filling ourselves up. The Bible says, die to your flesh daily. And we got to, you know, really listen to the voice of God, listen to the word of God, you know, read the word of God. The Bible says without, you know, faith is hearing, hearing is from the word. You know, we got to hear from the word of God is going to give us that faith and that hope. And Jesus is our hope. He's our eternal hope. You know, remember when we first got into the coronavirus, I remember doing a sermon on, you know, Jesus is in the boat with us and he's still in the boat with us and we're still in a storm and we're still going through crazy things. That was months ago. I mean, gosh, I remember the coronavirus started, you know, when we were going around doing election forums actually in February, and then they started getting canceled. And so I'm thinking probably early March, we started seeing really significant things with the coronavirus happening. And so, you know, this has been a crazy year. And it's affected us all. And I believe that the enemy's tried to wear us down. And I believe he's trying to wear us down spiritually. And those that listen to this broadcast, I know, you know, again, I always call us the remnant because that's what we are. You know, we're those that have ears to hear. We have eyes to see. We operate in discernment. We seek truth. You know, we may not be perfect. We're not perfect, but we are seeking truth. We're seeking to live in a righteous manner. We're seeking to live in accordance to the word of God. And, you know, many people are out there saying, you know, there's a Trump cult and, you know, you got to be careful. And I addressed that the other day in my broadcast. But, you know, I was talking to a great friend and a great pastor this morning about this very subject, because there's some leaders out there that are, you know, in the Christian community that are saying, you know, nationalism is bad. And they're saying, you know, the Trump followers and the evangelical leaders that follow Trump are bad. You know, they're making him an idol. And I said, well, first of all, I will just tell you this. In the Christian culture as a whole, there are people that do make idols. Okay, I've seen people make idols of pastors, make idols of celebrity pastors, make idols of, certain music groups. I mean, we have a tendency as humans to make idols. So yes, idolatry is a sin, and no one other than Jesus should be somebody that we look to in that way. We should never make an idol of man. And so I would stand with that as far as Donald Trump as well. Don't make an idol of Donald Trump. We know the man is an imperfect man. He's a good man. Seems like he's fighting for our freedom and our country, and we like him. But don't make an idol of him. Don't make an idol of me. Don't make an idol of your pastor. You know, spend time with the Lord. Have a relationship with the Lord. But the reason why I've been so staunch supporting Donald Trump, and you guys have to know a little bit about my history and also who I am, I also am the director of Religious Liberty Coalition. And I'm out there standing for religious liberty and freedom in our nation. I've been fighting long before I was the director of the Religious Liberty Coalition for religious liberty and freedoms. But, you know, that's why it's such a perfect fit for me. I've been doing this for years. And, that's a passion of mine, to stand for religious liberty and freedom. And I remember under Barack Obama, seeing how that was deteriorating fast and seeing the leftist ideology and the different things that they were implementing in our nation and some of the things that they were trying to, but they had not yet accomplished. And I saw the hostility towards Christianity. And so I started studying. Now, I was actually on the radio in LA doing a show called Hollywood Live Radio. And I would interview people in Hollywood, what God is up to in Hollywood. That was our mantra. What God was up to in Hollywood. For years, I did that, you know? And so I would just, you know, it was very, no one really got mad at me. Actually, people did get mad at me, but not like they do now. But I was still speaking about holiness and purity because I have a heart to be a real pastor that preaches holiness and preaches the word of God. And so I did preach that on the radio. And so there were people that were mad at me, especially that I was doing that in Hollywood, but I wasn't getting anything like political or anything like that, at least not that time. And then God started showing me, you know, that many of the things that are happening in Hollywood are really just, plumb line to what's happening in government. In fact, it's all connected. And I had already kind of known that a little bit, but, you know, the more I grew and studied and researched, the more I could understand that there was this major connection. That's how I really got more into government. And it's just, you know, the rest is history. But, you know, even in Hollywood, I could see that there was persecution that was happening as a Christian pastor who was supporting people that were making good films, you know, Pure Flicks and some of the guys like David A.R. Wright that were out there and many of these people. We actually had him on our radio show, not David A.R. Wright, but the Pure Flicks team the other day. And you know, they're great people. And that's, you know, there's many people that are making great Christian content out there that I know in the Christian film industry. And thank you for that. But what they had to do is they had to go around Hollywood because Hollywood wasn't interested in making good content anymore. Hollywood was interested in making you know, films that were something that you couldn't even watch with your family because there's always something demonic. You know, it's like amazing. I mean, you know, if you were to go on Netflix, I canceled my Netflix subscription. But when I had Netflix, you know, we would sit down and try to watch a movie and we'd be scrolling through. And I would tell my wife, like, look at the name of these shows and these films. It's like almost every one is, you know, demonic. I mean, it was either anger, violence, sex, some kind of sin. And so that's why we eventually opted out, especially when we saw what Netflix was standing for. But so what they did in Hollywood is they had to go around, Hollywood, and they created a counterculture movement in Hollywood. And we saw great movies starting to come out. I'm sure many of you guys have seen over the last couple of years, some of these movies like God's Not Dead and, you know, some of these anti-abortion movies and different things that have come out over the years that are really powerful films. And so anyways, what they did is they went around the mainstream. And that's kind of what's happening now is that we're seeing a counterculture movement and Christians and conservatives are kind of linking up. And my stake in the game is not just religious liberty. Of course, that's important. But what I see here is it's going to affect so much of our lives, because if you study communism, you talk to people that were in these communist countries, you know, lived in the former Soviet Union, that lived in some of these, you know, Cuba or Russia, you know, under the Soviet Union, or that lived in China, that currently live in China, you know, that are being oppressed. I mean, there's pastors that are literally just disappearing, you know, in China. And that's what happens there, because they put you in these camps. I mean, that's what they do to people that don't go along with their narrative or, you know, just be good little citizens and obey the tyrannical government. And then we see states like California, which are like, kind of communist states that are emerging here in the United States and locking people down and shutting down their small businesses. You guys are seeing this, you know? And so maybe you haven't been active politically before. Maybe you've never really thought of, you know, as a Christian being political, because, you know, a lot of the times we're just focused on the gospel and agree, like we should get people saved and set free and healed and delivered. That's our main focus, right? I mean, that's our great commission. But the problem is there comes a time when those very rights, just to be a Christian that we're so used to in our society, where the pastor can get up and preach the message and, you know, people can kind of go about their lives and have their small business and, you know, take their kids to school. And look what we're living in now. Look at the difference in the world just in a year. And think about how tyrannical it's gotten to where people's small businesses are being crushed by, you know, some of these state governors and these city ordinances, and especially in these blue cities. And so I'm seeing this. I'm seeing the persecution of churches and having them shut down. And I'm seeing all these things. And so when people say, well, why do you fight so hard for Donald Trump? Well, first of all, I do like Donald Trump. I think he's a good man. I know that he has, a way of talking that some people get upset about, especially with his tweets and things like that. But, you know, I look at him as, you know, a whole, not just his tweets, like the fruit of his life, you know, look at his children, you know, look at the things that he stands for. He's standing very pro-life in his stance. In fact, probably the most pro-life president, at least in my lifetime. I mean, I know Reagan was, you know, fairly pro-life, but this president's been able to accomplish more in that arena. And it's so many other things just in one term. And it's very apparent that the deep state, China, all these different entities, they came out of the woodworks. I mean, in the Christian world, we would say they manifested demonically. Literally, look what they've done. I mean, look how they've come out to attack this man, to attack us. It's been nonstop barrage, nonstop. And you see these rallies and you see these big, massive events. He goes around the country and it's like anywhere he goes, there's these massive events because people finally felt like they had a voice. They finally felt like, oh my gosh, this guy's not a politician. And listen, last couple of days, I've been around a lot of politicians. My head's kind of throbbing from the politicians, because when I start getting around the politicians that I see, they're very charismatic, very well-spoken, very polished. They would never say some of the things that Donald Trump says, but that's just the problem, is they're politicians, because I talk to them, not when they're on the stage, I talk to them behind the stage. I have the conversations with these people, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know why God's given me this opportunity. You know, honestly, it's not as cool as it looks. Okay. It's not as cool as it looks at all. In fact, I pay a high cost. I know that sounds crazy, but I pay a high cost. Like, you'll see a picture here and there. You think, oh, that guy's got like such a cool life or whatever. You know, you're not seeing the full story. Okay. You're not seeing the full story, because we deal with so much warfare. And you know, I think God has like called me to this for a reason, because it's my calling. You know, it's, I'm saying yes, like Isaiah said, send me, I'll go. I'm saying yes. And I'm going into these places and I'm talking to these people, and God will open these crazy doors. And like, okay, here I am talking to this person who I see on TV all the time. And, you know, just tonight I was around some Fox anchors, you know, and some people that you would know, some big names, and talking to them. And, you know, sometimes I even write about these people, and then here I am like face to face having a conversation with them. So I ask them, what do I do? I ask them the very questions I write about, because I want to know, like, what is the deal with this? Why did you do this? You know, and I want to see what they say. Sometimes, you know, they say things and I say, okay, well, maybe I can kind of understand a little bit more where you're coming from. And sometimes I think to myself, exactly what I thought, exactly what I wrote about is exactly the truth. And it goes the same thing with a lot of these political figures. It's like, you know, they're really charismatic. They're really well-spoken. And there's some really precious people that I really think are awesome. And I'll let you know, if I see somebody that's precious, maybe I will put their picture up and maybe I will say something nice, because, you know, I'm going to say that. But I'm not going to say that about somebody that I don't feel that way about. I'm not going to lie to you guys or say something about somebody that doesn't, you know, it's not true. So if you see me saying something about somebody, it's probably because they are an authentic person, at least to what I'm discerning in my conversations with them. And so that's why I put it up. And anyways, I've been around these politician kind of figures for the last 48 hours. I talk to them often, even when I'm not, you know, here where I'm at right now. I mean, I'm often working with congressmen, often working with people in government, and they're politicians. And the thing that I liked about Donald Trump is that he's not a politician. He was just a guy that saw a problem. And I really believe, you know, he could have gone and probably bought his own island and lived with his beautiful wife and had his family and his grandkids and just lived this like really extravagant life and gone to all these resorts around the world. Can you imagine your own jet plane? Like, I mean, I'm not talking like a Learjet. I'm talking like an actual, like, you know, American Airlines kind of plane this guy owns. Okay. Imagine what that thing is like inside, right? This guy has that. He has the Trump helicopters, the Trump planes. You know, he's got the real estate all around the world, but he decided to be president because he loved America. And then ever since he became president, look at the arrows this guy's taken from every single direction. They've tried to destroy him, destroy his family, go after his son. I mean, the guy's been through so much. And it just shows you how deep the swamp is. And so now we're at this like precipice moment in time. And people are asking me, so what's going to happen? You know, and I've laid out a couple of different things from a legal standpoint. I met with Lee Dungas last night. I don't know if you guys have been seeing, I've been posting some of her videos. She's a human rights attorney. And by the way, I don't know what her religious beliefs are. So, you know, I'm not saying like follow her because I'm not sure. But the videos that I posted, she's strictly talking about legalities and, you know, from a lawyer standpoint, I think those are pretty legit videos where she breaks down the various things that the president could do from her knowledge and understanding. And I think they're pretty legit. But, you know, it really kind of started, not her per se, but, you know, they're somewhere in the Christian conservative world. You know, these talks started about this Insurrection Act, and it really has grown steam. And, you know, we talked about it and as an option, and then General Flynn's talking about it. You know, obviously he understands it. And that would mean like a light martial law. Now, it wouldn't be the type of martial law like you see in the movies, you know, but things could get really, really, you know, I mean, they could go pretty crazy if that happens, because obviously the leftists are going to try to, you know, go nuts, but we can't fear those guys. And the thing is that if the military is in control, you know, they're not going to allow those people to be looting and burning down the cities. They'll, you know, so it probably would be a good thing, honestly, to get that under control. And we'd love to see these people, you know, that have done these crimes, we'd love to see some justice. So to me, it's not a bad thing. And that's why I wrote an op-ed about it, you know, why I support it. And so here's where we're kind of at. And I can't give you guys all the information, but I don't think we're going in that direction right now, just from what I'm talking, you know, for the people I'm talking to and the things that I'm seeing. And I think CNN just did a report on it tonight where they said, yes, there is going to be martial law. Yes, there is going to be Insurrection Act. You know, CNN's fake news. So don't read CNN. You know, anything the New York Times puts out, or Politico, or, you know, BuzzFeed, these are hit feasts. Washington Post. I mean, look what they've done this whole 4-year period, and just look at their track record. So please don't be buying into or believing what they said. The president put a tweet out today, which just affirmed an article I wrote earlier, saying, you know, I really was skeptical about it being Russia, Russia, Russia with this whole hack thing. The president's saying they're making a way bigger deal of the hack than, you know, there really was. You know, we do believe there was election interference, obviously, from a foreign adversary. You know, there's been substantial evidence to show that that hasn't really been, you know, the public hasn't been able to walk through it yet, but there's been some really credible people that have said, yes, we have seen the packets and we have the packets. There's been other people that have said, you know, they have the servers. We haven't heard anything else about that. I actually saw Louis Gohmert tonight at an event that I was at. He's one of the guys that broke that story about the servers. But regardless, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I don't know that they're going to do that Insurrection Act, just because it would be such a historic thing. I think the president should do it. But, you know, there's even people in his own group that are not wanting him to do that, obviously. And so we'll have to just see how that plays out. It could always be a last resort thing. But I personally, right now, from what I'm seeing, it doesn't look like that's going to be initiated. Again, I mean, the president could surprise us. He might not be showing all his cards. You know, maybe that is on his plan, but I don't know. But from what I'm hearing and seeing, I don't think that's like imminent. That's all I'll say, is I don't think it's imminent that we're going to just see that, you know, him say, yes, I'm invoking the Insurrection Act, you know, within the next 24 hours, 48 hours. I don't think that's going to happen. So I know there's a lot of people in the internet world that are out there saying that's going to happen. It's imminent. It's, you know, martial law. Maybe. I mean, maybe. We don't know. We hear a lot of things. I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you this. There are credible people that work around the president that have brought it up to him, that are talking about it. People like General Flynn. Sidney Powell. I mean, there's legitimate people. These are not conspiracy people. These are not, you know, these people aren't to be joked about. These are real legitimate. This is a 3-star general that just went through hell and back. And so, you know, he did say this in an interview. I have heard that he has spoke to the president about this. I can't confirm that. But I just don't think like in the next 28 to 48 hours or, you know, maybe this week, I don't foresee that that's the next step. To me, what it looks like they're doing, and again, this could be a big poker game. Maybe they don't want everybody to know. They're throwing out all these different things. They're throwing out all the, this is a possible, we could do this. And legally, yes. I mean, I think he could. I mean, it's been done before. Lincoln did it. You know, it's been done before. There's been many presidents that have invoked the Insurrection Act. So it's not like he can't do it. You know, I know the Supreme Court has, you know, there's something like 67 cases, I think, that have not have gone to the Supreme Court, but that have been in the court system. And almost every one of these cases, I think every single one of them actually has been kicked out due to procedural issues. Anybody that understands law knows there's either like a procedural matter or there's a merit to the case. So it's like, we're going to throw it out because it wasn't filed correctly. In other words, or, you know, the way that you don't have standing in the way that you're bringing this case to us, or, you know, so there's some type of filing error or procedural error that you did. And so we're going to toss the case because of that. You know, you don't have standing or it lacks, you know, you didn't file it correctly. The other side of it, where they would turn down a case, is it doesn't have merit. And if it doesn't have merit, that means that there's no evidence or there's lack of, you know, anything that they're showing to prove their case. So in that case, then that would be a problem. Like if you saw any of these cases and they took the case, they say, yeah, you lack merit. Well, you're not really seeing that. You're not seeing that it lacks merit because they haven't been able to present their case in these cases. So the court system is basically sending a message and they're saying, look, we don't want to decide the election. We don't want to be the one that does this. And so unless something drastically changes, and again, God can do anything. God can do anything. So he could use the Supreme Court. There might be a case that, I mean, I heard Sidney Powell's case had been on the docket. I haven't heard much more about it. You know, like I said, I've been traveling, but, you know, maybe something will come out of that case. They're saying the Kraken or the Kraken has made it to the Supreme Court and it's docketed. Okay, great. So I hope they hear the case, but we're just, from what we're seeing, that what they've shown is that they don't have any interest in being involved in this election, which is really sad because, you know, people say, well, do you have proof? Do you have evidence? Guys, there's files that I can't even tell you. So many files, I can't even put them on my computer if I wanted to dig into all of them as an investigative journalist. I mean, gosh, so many people have signed affidavits. So many people have videos. So many people have, I mean, just statistical evidence and all these different people, you know, forensic evidence on the Dominion machines. And I can just go on and on and on about fake ballots and people that shouldn't have voted and dead people voting. And it's just unbelievable. So no one can say that there's no evidence. There's so much evidence. I don't think we would ever need any more evidence, even though we probably could still get more evidence. The problem is somebody needs to hear the case and people are scared. And what we've said is that the Supreme Court are human beings. They need to see people like you and I out there supporting. They need to see. And so that's what we did. We went out there. Look at these marches in D.C., all these Trump supporters, these Stop the Steal marches, these people at the Capitol, you know, and so we've tried to organize to show people like, yes, we care. We're mad. But we're in such a complacent, apathetic place, especially as a church. And how many people do you really know? Let's just be honest. How many people in your personal circle do you really know that are somewhat like me or that are out there? I mean, you might be an activist. You might be somebody who gets it because you're listening to the show. But I'm saying in your life, like how many people around you are really activists in the Christian community, are really out there on the front lines, are really fighting? Come on, let's just be honest. Most people let other people like me or maybe like you fight for them. And they say, oh yeah, we know. And then you know what the other sad thing about it is? They don't even support you. So I literally put my life, my career, you know, everything on the line. And then we say like, hey, you know, can you support us? And it's like a couple of people will send a little bit of money here and there, but it certainly isn't enough to live on. But yet I'm like blackballed from getting a job pretty much anywhere. You know, thank God, God provides and I trusted him. But think about it. I mean, and so you know what's at stake when you put your life on the line. You know what's at stake to be a patriot. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. But I'll tell you, you ain't going to get hired from like a Macy's. You ain't going to get hired from like any company that like sees what you're, that all these social justice warrior companies, they're not going to hire you because you're an activist and you're against their values of their social justice warrior. They want to cancel you. They want you to be deplatformed. They want you to be silenced. So you know, I maybe people just have fear, or maybe people just, you know, but I was on this thread the other day, and I'm not even kidding you guys. It was like a thread of a bunch of pastors. You know, people were talking about, like, you know, the Insurrection Act, and, you know, like, if there was a civil war, like, would you stand? And, like, all these people, I'm not even kidding you, like, all these people are like, well, I'm not a fighter. I can't fight. I'm not going to fight. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, like, this is our 1776, ladies and gentlemen. Literally, we're about to hand the keys of our country over to a man that is in bed with China. Has that really hit your mind yet? Have you understand? Do you understand what that means for your church? Do you understand what that means, pastor, for your, you know that they're going to close you down. They're going to shut you down. They're going to probably take away your tax exempt status, which honestly, to me, that's not the biggest deal in the world, because, you know, we don't live by that, you know, but there's a lot of churches that would be greatly affected by that. And I think that it's a law that should remain in place. I don't think that we should be conforming to the government though, in order to do that. And I know a lot of people have a strong opinion on that, because they think that churches bow down because of the 501c3. So the bottom line is, people that are Christians should want to tithe regardless of getting, honestly, let's just be real here, regardless of getting a tax credit. Because the truth of the matter is, the Bible says to tithe 10%. And if we're really remnant people, we're tithing to people that are pastors or that have ministries like this, because, you know, we're really obeying God. And that's how he, you know, God is the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He'll give us, you know, supply our needs according to his riches and glory, right? That's what the Bible says. So, you know, we're not doing it for a credit at the end of the year. We're doing it because the Bible says to do it. And we're doing it because it brings favor in our life when we do it. That's just one of the things. I mean, they want to do so many crazy things. Biden's trying to put this transgender person in charge of the schools. Imagine that, being in charge of the curriculum. I mean, we already had that transgender story time thing with the kids. I know you guys have seen that. And now they're trying to put this person in charge of the schools. What? Are you kidding me? And the people that he's picking are so scary. I mean, it just shows the intentions and who this person is bought and paid for. I mean, everything evil, everything sinful, everything anti-God, everything exactly opposed to what we would like to see in having America return to the religious liberties and freedoms and foundation morally of the biblical foundation that this nation was founded on. So what's going to happen? So, you know, like I said, they're not doing the Insurrection Act, at least not right now, looks like. Apparently there's people that are even in the Trump team that are opposing it. So unless he pulls a Trump card that I don't know about, and that's possible, and he could very well do that. But from what I'm seeing and I'm hearing, that's not going to happen right now. So then what? Well, then it's got to go to the states. It's got to go through this this contested election, which eventually becomes a contingent election. So what does that mean? Contested election that becomes a contingent election. Well, that basically means that. So here's the deal. So, you know, you have the certification process. It gets to the Congress. They read off one state at a time, and then they certify the votes. You know, like, the, you know, Maine, here you go. Montana, here you go. You know, like, and then everybody says, you know, we certify the vote. And then if one congressperson and one senator, there has to be at least one of each. Now, we already know there's a couple of congressmen like Mo Brooks and I think a few others, like maybe Matt Gaetz and maybe a couple others are going to be able to stand on the congressional side. So we're not really worried about the congressional side. But there's yet to be that Tommy Tuberville, possibly, he said that he may do it, but there's no confirmation from him yet. And there's no other senators, including Rand Paul, that have said for sure yet. Like, there's people that are kind of possibly, maybe we'll do it. I'd love to see Marsha Blackburn do it. But this kind of seems to be like what they're hedging their bets on right now, is that there's going to be this contested election where, when it gets to the certification process, Mike Pence, by the way, is the one that sits there and kind of like oversees this whole thing. And you know, so let's just say hypothetically that there are some people in the Republican Party that, you know, grow a spine and actually defend this election, you know, and say, yes, we're going to say, yes, there was massive voter fraud, and they get up there and they do that. That'd be great, right? That'd be wonderful. So then, though, there's like a debate about it. And, you know, then the debate goes on. And then, like, you know, the only way that this really goes forward for Trump is if, you know, one of the people, you know, meeting Biden doesn't get the 270 because a couple of states end up being contested. So in other words, they're able to successfully take away the electors that have been, you know, cemented, as the mainstream media says, you know, or certified, you know, that have already been certified for Biden. If they're somehow able to withdraw those electors because of this contesting by the congressman and the senator, And they're able to do that until the 18th of January. And then what happened is at the 18th of January, it becomes what's known, not a contested election, but a contingent election. And then once it goes to the contingent election process, then it basically, what happens is the Congress decides the president and the Senate decides the vice president. Now, of course, that sounds very scary because we know that Nancy Pelosi runs the Congress, but it's not like you think. Only one vote per state. And because Republicans hold more states, technically Trump would win that as long as the party remains loyal. So once you get past like that stage where first of all, we have to find a senator that has a backbone and actually is willing to stand. I'm hoping Rand Paul does, hoping somebody does, you know, Marsha Blackburn, somebody, come on, pray for that, you know, start calling your senators up. But if they do that and one stands and they contest and, you know, a couple of states are contested to where it takes Biden below the 270 mark and then no candidate gets the 270 and then it remains contested till the 18th of January and then it becomes a contingent election and then it goes to the Congress and then President Trump wins because the party remains loyal and they give one vote per state and they elect Donald Trump again and then the vice president through the Senate is, actually Pence would be the tiebreaker in the Senate for himself being the vice president again, kind of crazy situation. But so, you know, that's their path. And is it possible? Yes. Do I remain hopeful? Yes. Am I still praying? Yes. Am I still fasting? Yes. But I'm just telling you truthfully where I'm hearing we're at right now. And I know it's not what everybody wants to hear. And I know you're seeing a lot of stuff on the internet. And I know a lot of people are posting a lot of things. And I've even talked about the Insurrection Act. General Flynn's talked about it. Sidney Powell's talked about it. Epic Times has talked about it. Remnant News has talked about it. But I'm just telling you that from what I'm hearing, that's not what we're seeing right now that's going to happen. Unless it's something that Trump has as a Trump card. He can still use it probably all the way up till pretty much the inauguration, I think. So it's always something that remains in his back pocket. But he has to basically, you know, do it. And I don't know if he has the stomach to do it. He was a pretty bold man, but you got to remember this would be history altering kind of situation. And a lot of things that have been promised, you know, not by Trump, but by people like Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood and other people like that. I want to believe them. I think they're credible. I think they're Christian. I believe them, but you know, this is a huge battle. Now I will recall during the Russian collusion hoax, there was a lot of people that lost hope. There's a lot of people that gave in. There's a lot of people at that time that were like, yeah, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I stayed firm. I said, he's going to be, you know, he didn't do it. If you were following me back then, you know that. I'm once again, one of the only people, there's a few, some of my good friends, some people I know that are standing, that are remaining standing. My mom, you know, my friend Shane Eidelman, you know, I know Jim Garlow, Pastor Greg Locke. I mean, some of my friends, you know, I can just go on. I don't want to miss anybody. There's a lot of people around the country that are standing, actually. I mean, Rob McCoy, I was just with him. I mean, there's always, you know, there's a lot of people, Jack Hibbs. But I'm just saying is that there's not a lot. There's not a lot, especially pastors that are standing. But there are some, and there are some that are prophesying. I know Kent Christmas, everybody's sending me his prophecy. You know, I know my friend Mario Murillo is probably standing. I know Rodney Howard Brown standing. I mean, you know, it's the usual crowd of people, you know, Lance Wallnew, you know, the same people that are standing. And thank God for this group and thank God for the remnant pastors out there that are standing. And I know there's a lot of us. I mean, listen, over 75 million of us, okay, that believe the president won and voted for him. I think 80 million personally. And I think he won in a landslide. But the problem is there's a lot of people that don't have a backbone. So that's all flesh talk. I'm going to be honest with you. That's all flesh talk. Now I'm going to talk spirit talk. And that's how we're going to end this. Is that I believe, and I've said this from the beginning, God is a God of miracles. I believe God can do what looks impossible to man. Do I feel in my spirit that it's over? No. Do I feel in my spirit that we're supposed to stop praying? No. Could there be some miraculous thing that we don't know about that happens? Yes. What are the chances, Todd? Well, I'll tell you, in my life, when I stared at a mountain and I thought it was too big to climb and too crazy and I didn't know how I'd ever climb it, somehow God got me through and there was a miracle. And has that happened one time? No, it's happened many times. So this situation reminds me of that. It reminds me of some Bible stories about, you know, the parting of the Red Sea. It reminds me of, certain things. And I don't know. I just think God's going to do something. But, you know, if you look at it from the flesh, it looks like, oh my gosh, there's less and less chances. How are we ever going to do it? You know, a lot of people are really down right now, letting depression kick in. I'm not down. If I sound down, please don't think I'm down. I'm tired. I'm exhausted, but I wanted to do a podcast. I know it might not be the best podcast I've done. My voice is groggy. I'm in a hotel room. I'm exhausted, but I'm doing it because I wanted to just update you guys for those that wanted to listen. So thank you for tuning in. Remain hopeful. Remain at peace. Spend time with the Lord. Worship the Lord. Fast. Pray. If you need to repent, repent. We all need to repent. You know, it's not business as usual here in America. It never will be again. But I do believe God is still going to do something powerful. So let's continue to trust him in faith. But either way, we win. Because if Biden becomes president, we still win because we're Christians and we know where we spend our eternity. And so we're going to fight on either way. And we're going to stand either way. I'm going to defend religious liberty either way. I'm going to do my podcasts and radio shows either way. You know, I'm going to be out there speaking. You're going to be out there doing the things that you do. We're going to continue to press ahead in the name of Jesus. We're going to walk through the doors, the divine appointments that the Lord puts in front of us. And we're going to show up like Isaiah, send me, I'll go. That's who we are. And our identity in Christ is victorious. And I can't wait to just preach sermons and not have to talk about this election. But right now we're in a battle. And so that's what we're talking about because we got to fight and pray this through. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast. Hopefully next time I'll have more energy. I don't want to be low energy, but tonight I'm low energy because I'm exhausted. But I love you guys, and I wanted to put out a broadcast. So I hope you have a wonderful evening. I'll talk to you soon. God bless.